I'm joined by Wissam Tarif, who's the founder of the human rights group ISAN. He's just got back from Syria and currently in The Hague, still very much in touch with Syrians. Wissam, just give us the latest on what's been happening in Deraa today.
Well, Deraa has been surrounded, as you all know, by the army. There were tanks and the troops inside the city itself. I've just confirmed half an hour ago that there were live ammunition being shot on the old part of Deraa. The old part of the city, Deraa has two parts. One is the town, and then there is the Mahatta area, which is nearer to the highway coming from Damascus. And the shooting has been happening in the old part of town, and live bullets. I myself heard the live bullets on the phone, and lots of people were screaming, and a lot of panic and shouting.
There have been reports, maybe rumors, that some sign that the army was there were mutinous elements in the army, and people were defecting. It doesn't sound as if that's very sizable. Do you have an opinion on that? Have you had that sort of confirmed by anyone?
We have heard this from the first beginning. We have been hearing this for the last 4 or 5 weeks. What we were able to do is to interview some of the families of soldiers that were shot. We have interviewed in the last 4 weeks three families of soldiers who are in obligatory military service in Syria who were shot, and the body was delivered to the family. In those three cases, the family says that they suspect that the soldier was shot by security forces disobeying orders, shooting on civilians. The most significant case was in the town of Madaya, where I myself have interviewed the family. The brother of the soldier who died said he talked with him 2 days before by phone, and that the soldier was scared that he would be ordered to shoot on civilians, and after 2 days the body was delivered to the family. So there are indications, there are strong evidence that this might be happening. The question is, at what scale is happening? Is those are individual soldiers who are taking the decision, willing to sacrifice their lives and not shooting on protesters, or is this happening on a bigger scale all over the country in the army? The two units that are deployed in Deraa itself are generally very loyal to the regime, and therefore I heard a lot about it, but I really don't have specific information.
Now, do you fear that what's happening at the moment in Deraa is something similar to what happened in the 1980s in Hama, when thousands of people were killed?
Unfortunately, this is the case. Now, what is astonishing that in this period of time, while we have the social media tools, even though there are no foreign press in Syria, even the very few Arab outlets, media outlets, or the few foreign journalists who are in Syria are not allowed to leave Damascus. So basically the Syrian regime has managed to isolate the rest of the country from the world. And yes, what is happening in the country is systematic killing. This is systematic killing in Deraa. We are talking about an army surrounding a group of civilian with tanks and opening live ammunition. Now, the absurd about it that so far the international community has just used strong words, but no action whatsoever. The Rome Statute was designed to prevent crimes against humanity. I don't understand why the UN Security Council has not referred this to the International Criminal Court so far.
We've talked a bit about Deraa. Where else are you getting reports of violence?
We have witnessed violence in Benyas. I've been there myself. There have Latakia has been surrounded, and the army has been deployed in Latakia. This is the fourth week We are talking about the army in Mu'adhdhamiyya, in Ghouta, in Saqba, in Jisrain, and this is the Damascus suburb. So the army is deployed all over Syria. There are troops, and wherever there were demonstrations in the last 4 weeks, we are seeing the army punishing city by city. They started with Banias, and they did not start with Dara. The number of casualties in Banias exceeds 40 people.
And how are you getting information out? We've heard lots about a crackdown on the internet and mobile phone networks. How are Syrians communicating with the outside world?
Well, it has been very, very, very difficult. I left Syria just a few days back. We have two researchers on the ground. We have a group of volunteers. There are activists all over Syria. We do have some sat phones for communication. But the idea is how to reach the towns that are being isolated. Like, we don't have the capacity or the personnel, or even if we do have it, it's impossible just to send someone to Dara. Previously, we managed to get through the Jordanian border to Salamain or to Dara. Yesterday and today, we have failed to do that so far because it's very risky. We're talking about an army systematically killing people.
How do you see it playing out in the next few days?
I think this is going, we were going to see more bloodshed. And the question is, what can we do to prevent more bloodshed? I think the Syrian people have shown a big will and to long looking for freedom and dignity. And therefore, I think they need at least an international community support. I don't think the international community does not have the preventive measures, but we are. The international community lacks of is a strategic view and the political will.
Okay, Wissam, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for